Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Welcome again tonight. I hope you guys have been enjoying this financial freedom seminar. God wants his people financially free. I mean, Jesus shed his blood for us to be free spiritually, to be free physically, to be free financially, to be free emotionally, socially, maritally, if you're married. Every way, God wants us free, living an abundant life. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it what? More abundant. And he didn't just talk about just your spiritual life. He didn't just talk about one part. He talked about, I've come that you might have life. Abundant, more abundant, overflowing life. So when I found that out years ago, I just decided I'm not waiting to heaven to enjoy eternal life. Bless God, eternal life began the moment that his life got on the inside of me for eternity so I can start enjoying it in every realm. Amen. So that's what we should be striving for, is excellency in every area of our life, including finances. And the good, cool thing about learning the Word of God like we have been for these last three and now this fourth session is that it guards our hearts against covetousness. It guards your heart against the love of money, which is the root of all evil. Money in and of itself is an inanimate object. It can do good and it can be used for evil. You know, I could pick my Bible up, walk over here to this good-looking lady right here and swat her upside the head, knock her over and knock her out. And you could say, oh my goodness, that Bible is evil. That Bible just knocked her out. Or you could say, no, it was used for evil, but the Bible's not evil. Amen? And so money can be used for good, it can be used for evil, but money in and of itself is an inanimate object. And if you want to get scriptural about it, money's good. In fact, money in God's own mouth is very good. Because you remember after he created everything, the gold, the silver, the cattle on a thousand hills, it said he looked at everything he made and said it is very good. So in God's eyes, all the wealth in the earth is very good. It's just been used for a lot of wrong purposes. But that's why God is transferring wealth in these last days. And it has begun, and it's going to continue, and it's going to really get steam ahead. There are going to be great transfers of wealth into the hands of the righteous for us to use these last days to bring in the harvest. Amen. Because we need to reach people, and it takes money to do that. So that's why we fill our hearts and our minds, because it's the washing of the water of the Word that keeps us pure. And that way we can have lots of money and it not have us. Amen. Praise God. So turn in your Bibles tonight to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at a verse that's very familiar with most people, most Christians anyway, and probably heard it preached before, and a lot of Christians quote it. So we're going to take a closer look at it. Have y'all been learning some things you haven't seen before? Hallelujah. Isn't that so cool? God's Word is so full of revelation that you can learn something and something. I don't know how many of y'all have done this before. You're sitting there, you're reading a verse that you've read many times before, and all of a sudden you do this. What? I mean, you're amazed that you've read that hundreds of times and not seeing what you're seeing right now. How many, you know what I'm talking about? It's not, but here's why. This is why the Lord showed me that. He said, well, Larry, I told you that you go from faith to faith. From faith to faith. So your faith is growing. And as you get to a higher level of faith and the next level, you're able to receive revelation at that level that the lower level of faith couldn't receive. So you can be reading the same scripture, but at a next level of faith, get more light out of it. Isn't that cool? When I learned that, I realized, oh my God, no, I got to stay hungry. No, even if I'm hearing a verse 3,000 times. Of course, I learned that from the late Kenneth E. Hagin, getting to travel with him because I would watch him. I remember one of the first times he had me preach at one of his crusades. And I got done preaching, you know, and went back to the back room where he was. And when I walked in where he was, he said, Brother Larry, that was good. I learned something tonight. I thought, from who? I thought, I'm just preaching what you taught me, Dad. You know, you couldn't have learned anything. All I'm just saying is everything I've heard you preach. But because he was a student, he wasn't looking to the person. He was looking to the gifts God put in me, and then the Holy Ghost gave Dad revelation that night. See, if you stay humble, then you can learn from anybody. right? I mean, little kids can speak. I mean, how many times have we had our kids speak things and us adults learn things, man, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, right? Praise God. So we're going to get some more good stuff tonight. I brought some stuff up to give away tonight. Anybody like free stuff? So I'm going to be giving away. For those of you that are faithful to have come, I'm going to give stuff away. And you watch. Some of you are probably going to email me, well, I came by satellite. Can I get something? No, this is just for people here. Hallelujah. But God will give you some good stuff if you'll keep your expector on. All right, so Philippians, let's look at a verse, first of all, that we've all quoted many times, verse 19. I mean, come on, everybody can quote this one by heart probably. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All right. So my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I was reading this one day, and, you know, I knew other scriptures that promise more than just our needs. So I thought, you know, God, you must mean more in this verse than what I'm reading in it, because many people have said, they've tried to use this verse to preach that God never promised any more than just your needs. You know, they'll say, no, God never promised to meet more than just your needs. So, you know, just believe for your needs to be met, and that's all. But if you really stop and think about that statement, I mean, come on, God gave us a brain to use, right? He didn't say remove your mind. He said renew your mind, right? So we're not supposed to remove it. We're supposed to use it. And so if you stop and think, if he just promised to meet your needs, well, you don't need more than one outfit of clothes. Oh, yes, Brother Larry. No. You listen, I don't care if you had to wash it thousands of times, you know, until you wore it out and had to buy one more pair. Listen, you would still be alive if you were wearing the same outfit a year from now. It would not cause you to die physically. And you don't need a car. Oh, yes, Brother Larry, I got to get to work. No, listen, you could have left 3 hours earlier on horseback. You don't have to have a car. You will still be alive a year from now if you didn't have a car. Come on. Might have to have a bicycle or a donkey or something, but you'd still be alive. And you don't need, by the looks of all of us, we don't need all the food we eat either. We could probably get by with a lot less and still be alive a year from now. I'm better skip over that one real quick here. So that you don't need a pet and you don't need this. And you, there's so many things that we say we need, but you would still be physically ticking and alive and breathing if you didn't have them. So if God promised just to meet your needs, then you have way too much stuff already. You're way beyond your needs. Amen. But we know scripturally that's not the case, that, you know, God even says this in Matthew, he said, if you as a natural parent know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? When Matthew said that by the Holy Ghost, and then it was recorded for us to read, I just realized, well, my goodness, when I think about how I want to bless my daughter Rachel, and God wants to bless me more than that, I'm thinking, man, he is really wanting to bless me, because I really want to bless my daughter all the time. My wife and I have talked about it. Even though she's married, moved away now, we're still thinking, we want to bless her, want to give to her, want to help her out. Amen. So how much more do we have a Heavenly Father? When only good and perfect comes down from him, and he doesn't vary or have even a hint or shadow of turning from that, what a good God we serve, right? So I looked up this word, my God shall supply all your need, because I just knew it had to mean more than that. And let me give you the definitions of this word need. And you can look this up for yourself. Just get a Greek concordance out, look it up. The word need is also want. So it's just as scriptural to put the word want in here as need. My God supplies all my wants according to his riches and glory. Well, that all of a sudden takes it beyond just the need realm then, doesn't it? Another definition of this Greek word is use. My God shall supply all your uses according to his riches and glory. I'll give you a good example of that. I flew into a city one time, And similar to here, when I was coming, they said, Larry, you don't need to rent a car. We'll pick you up and we'll loan you a vehicle. Well, that I need a vehicle to get around to go to the gym and go to Walmart when I need to pick up something personal, whatever. I need a vehicle. So your church provided a vehicle for me. Well, I flew into a city one time and the pastor called me up and said, you know, we have somebody in our church. They happen to be a wealthy businessman. And they've just bought one of these $90,000 brand new Mercedes, and he wants you to drive it while you're here, so don't rent a Hertz. And I didn't even have to pray about it. Because I needed a car, and so I drove a beautiful, gorgeous Mercedes around that week while I was there. I was there for 4 or 5 days and drove that around, and it was a whole lot more fun than Avis or Hertz cars. Amen. So God supplied all my needs, wants, uses, according to his riches and glory. Just like I told you that testimony, I think it was last night, one of the meetings where that Lincoln dealership provided Liz and I a new Lincoln for a while till we bought our own van and stuff. And so that was a need. We needed to drive to churches and ministers and stuff. So that's supplying according to your needs. So if you have things that you need to use but not necessarily buy, I mean, come on, every city I go to, I don't need to buy a car, but I need a car, right? So that's included in this verse, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So want, he wants to supply my wants, he wants to supply my uses. Here's another definition, business. That's the definition of this Greek word. My God shall supply all your business according to his riches and glory. Now, that's one you ought to take hold of, glory to God. He's going to supply my business, praise God. That means he's concerned about my job and my business and my business at my job. Or if you own a business, well, he'll supply business, he'll supply clientele, right? And then another definition is employment. My God shall supply all your employment according to his riches and glory. So if you need a job or you need a better job, he's good at supplying. And you got a promise from the word to take and put in your heart and your mouth. Start speaking so it'll come to pass. Because life and death are in the power of the... So you got to let that tongue loose and make sure that it's releasing the power of life to change things. Amen. Amen. Here's another one. Definition, my God shall supply every occasion that arises according to his riches and glory. Occasions. So an occasion arises, like the car breaks down. Well, that wasn't one you had on the calendar planned for, but it's an occasion that arose, something that happened that you need money for. My God shall supply all occasions according to his riches and glory. Amen. Or, you know, we have a loved one and we need to travel to their funeral. It's going to cost a lot of money, airfare, whatever. It's an occasion. God will supply that according to his riches and glory. Another definition of the Greek word is demands. My God shall supply all your demands according to his riches and glory. Well, that sounds kind of like that could include Uncle Sam, couldn't it? Come on, they demand you to pay taxes, right? And all that kind of stuff. So any demands placed on us, whether it's government or any other entity or society, some demands that are placed upon us, my God supplies all my demands. And then requirements. Well, you know, I'm required to do this and this. And, you know, they required me when I signed up for a pre-check at the airports. If any of you have signed up for pre-check, you know what I'm talking about. But so that you don't have to stand in the long security lines, you can sign up with the government and they want everything about you inside and out, you know. And so when I signed up, they had requirements that I had to provide them and money that I had to provide them. So my God supplied all that requirement according to his riches and glory. Amen. And so I love this verse because it goes way beyond need. It goes to wants and uses and business and employment and occasions, demands and requirements according to his riches and glory. So what are some other scriptures that would substantiate this? The 23rd Psalm? Would that be one? Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not... Want. Oh, so God wants to supply more than just your need, huh? What about Psalm 34:10? They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Not need, but want. Amen. What about Psalm 37:4? Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires. That's way beyond needs, friends. The desires of our heart. So we have an El Shaddai God, not an El Cheapo God. Amen. He wants to supply more than enough. That means he wants all of your enough to be met and plenty left over to be more than that. Praise God. So my God, verse 19 says, that he will supply all your need, your employment, your business, your wants, your desires, according to his riches and glory. Notice, according to his riches and glory, not according to what you have in your accounts. Not according to your paycheck. It's according to his riches and glory. So when I was reading this one day and I was seeking the Lord, I wasn't even thinking about what he's about to say, because I wasn't thinking about the lines what he was talking about. But I just came across this verse again. I was reading in Philippians, read this verse, and I heard the Lord in that still small voice on the inside, the way the Holy Ghost talks to us. He said, many of my children don't qualify for this verse. I said, what? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And he showed me, he said, many of my kids are quoting this verse, believing this verse, and yet they're not in a position to qualify for me to supply for them. You know, that's a mistake that all of us can make. Even us, you know, we call ourselves word of faith because the Apostle Paul called himself a word of faith man. Word of faith just simply means, like the Apostle Paul, what, remember Romans 10:8, what does it say? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That's the word of faith which we preach. So if you're like the Apostle Paul and you believe you're supposed to get the word in your heart and then speak it out of your mouth, then you're word of faith. Well, even us word of faith consider ourselves full gospel or word people. We can take a verse and start acting on it, believing it, and really do it out of context. In other words, we haven't read the context of what qualified God to say that. So let's back up to verse number 15 tonight, and let's get a good running start at this. Let's start in verse 15. He said, now you Nanuetans know, you New Yorkans know, you Oklahomans know. See, it's talking to all of us. You Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. Everybody say giving and receiving. Giving. Say it again. Giving. Say it again. Giving. Those that are watching by satellite, say it with us. Giving and receiving. So giving and receiving, we also know that as seed time and or sowing and reaping. So we know it's talking about the same thing as you look at different scriptures. The contemporary English version reads this way. My friends at Philippi, you remember what it's like when I started preaching the good news in Macedonia? After I left there, you were the only church that became my partner by giving blessings and by receiving them in return. So this law of giving and receiving, if you study it out, you find out it's actually a law of giving. Seed time and harvest is a law, a spiritual law that God puts in motion. This law is not just giving. It's giving and receiving. And when we receive, we're blessed to be a blessing. Do you remember what God told Abraham? And this is for you and me. He said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great, and you're going to be a blessing. That's a threefold covenant of Abraham that you and I are a part of today. It's an everlasting covenant. You remember God told us that about the Abrahamic covenant? Everlasting covenant. So it's for us today, meaning we're still under it. You know why? Because the Abrahamic covenant was a covenant of grace. There was no law. You ever thought about that? The covenant of Abraham was he believed God, and it was accounted to him. He believed and it was accounted. What's that? Faith and grace. There was no Mosaic law, no commandments. So that's why it's an everlasting covenant, and that's why it applies to us even under the covenant of grace we're in the New Testament. So in this covenant, he told Abraham, I'm blessing you. I'm going to make your name great, and you're going to be a blessing. So when I thought about that, here's the purpose of him blessing us. So that we have more influence into more people's lives. That's your name being made great, or in other words, he's giving you honor in the sight of whether it's family members, neighbors, employees, friends, family, whoever. Your name is elevated in their sight by God. So I want you blessed so that your name becomes greater. Or in other words, you have more influence into more people's lives so that you can be a greater blessing. So the money coming to me and the money coming to you and the financial rewards and blessings to come to us isn't just about us. It's about God so loved the world. So we're blessed, so we have more influence into more people's lives, so that we can be a greater blessing, which is why God's going to continue to challenge us. The more we increase, the more we give. And if you keep your heart full of God's word, where you're washed by the water, your heart stays pure, your mind stays washed and pure. And so that's the way you think. You think, oh, I just got more, I can give more. And as long as you keep working God's principle that way with the pure heart, then God's blessings will continue to come and you'll get wealthier and wealthier. And the wealthier you get, the more influence you'll have. And the more influence you have, the more you can be a blessing. Hallelujah. So, you Philippians came in contact with this law of giving and receiving. So we're going to find out how they did that. They came in contact with this law, but it wasn't just giving, it was also receiving. So we don't want to just give. That's where a lot of Christians kind of miss it. They just give, but they don't ever receive. So we need to be putting our faith out, not just for the sowing part, but also for the harvest part. You receive harvest the same way you receive the seed to sow, or the same way you sow the seed. And that's by faith. All right, so in the next verse, he says, even in Thessalonica, you sent time and time again to my necessity. And if you look up the word necessity, it's the same word need as verse 19. You sent unto my employment. You sent unto my business. You sent unto my occasions that arose, my demands, requirements. You sent unto my wants. So if there were things I wanted, you even blessed me so that I could get things I wanted. I didn't necessarily need them. You just blessed me so I could have them. Amen. Well, I mean, when I didn't need to drive a nice brand new Mercedes that time when I went to that church. Amen. But it was sure nice because God wanted to supply my wants according to his riches and glory. Amen. And that was exceeding abundantly above what I wanted. I just wanted a nice vehicle to drive. They gave me a really, really nice vehicle. So even in Thessalonica, you sent time and time again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift. In other words, you guys aren't giving to me because I'm coaxing it out of you, I'm pulling it out of you, I'm wanting it, so I'm just making you feel sorry if you don't. No. You're not giving because of me desiring something. No. He said, my desire is fruit that abounds to whose account? Fruit that abounds to your account. Now that's twofold. You know, we're going to get fruit here and we're going to get fruit in the sweet by and by. And you know, a lot of times people want to focus on the fruit here, which is fine as long as it's temporary and your focus is correct. I want the fruit here so I can reach more souls. Then that's fine to do that. But we need to always keep the bigger picture in mind, because the time that we're going to spend when we leave the earth in the new heavens and the new earth is for eternity. So in other words, after you live, let's just say you even lived as long as Abraham down here. How long was that? 175 years, right? Let's just say you lived 175 years down here like Abraham, the father of us all, the one that we're supposed to follow his faith. You live 175, and then you go be with Jesus. And then 1,000 years later, well, you sure passed up that 175 up there, didn't you? And then 10,000 years later, and then 100,000 years later, and then 500,000 years later, and then 1,000,000 years later, and then 1,000,000,000,000 years later, and then 1,000,000,000,000. Honey, this little, you know what the Bible calls our time here on the earth? A vapor. it mentions, it likens us like the flower that comes up today and withers away. So we've got to get our eyes on the bigger picture and realize, you know what, when I give down here, and you're going to be seeing it here as we get into this more, when I give down here, heaven takes notice. And there are rewards being laid up for the souls and the people that I'm reaching with my money. Because my money can help get the gospel out when I'm not even present. You know when I got a real revelation of this, Pastor Ed, Pastor Gregory? I may have told you this before. Did I tell you about the time Dr. Simons called me at 10:30 at night? A couple of you heard it. Well, the rest of you need to hear it. But so he called me up one night, and I was getting ready to go to bed, and he said, "What you doing, Dr. Ed?" And I said, "I'm getting ready to go to bed." He said, "No, you're not. You're preaching to millions of people on television right now." And I was in my pajamas in my bedroom, in my pajamas, getting ready to get in bed, and I started dancing. Oh, I got so excited. And then I stopped and it hit me. Wait a minute. I'm just one person in my bedroom, not talking anybody about the Bible or telling anybody about Jesus. But because of the dollar that's bought airtime, I'm on TV right this moment. They all think I'm live. They're listening to me and I'm preaching to millions of people right now. I just got so excited I couldn't handle it. I just got, oh my, glory to God.
Yeah.
That's what, if we think that way about our money, money will never have us. Because our money is going to be our servant, not our master. No man can serve two masters. You're going to hate the one, love the other, hold the one, despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon or money. You can't serve both. You can have both. You should have both in your life. You ought to have God in your life. You ought to have money in your life. But God ought to be your master. Money ought to be your slave. Money ought to be your servant. It ought to be serving you. If your heart's full of God's word, then you'll make sure that money stays your servant no matter how rich you get. Amen. Praise God. So, he said, you guys sent over and over and over again when I had needs, when I had wants, when I had things arise, occasions, business, employment, all that stuff. But he said, it wasn't because I wanted the money. But yet you knew Paul needed the money, right? I mean, we even see him at one point working for a period of time until he didn't have to anymore. He actually worked so that he could fund his ministry. A lot of preachers do that. We work for a while and we fund things and get our ministries going and things like that. A lot of pastors have to work in certain churches around this country as I travel. I'll go and a pastor's having to work full time as he's launching a church. Well, ministers, we're willing to do that to reach people and touch people. Amen. So Paul needed the money, and yet he said, well, it's not because I'm desiring the money from you, though. I actually want fruit to abound to your account. So we know the fruit here is seed time and harvest. So we know it's the harvest, finances that are going to come back to you. But also then, what about the souls that you're getting credited? When you support this church and souls get saved in this church or lives get changed, then you're going to get credit for that up in heaven. You're going to get fruit that abounds to your account. There is an account in heaven with your name on it, and deposits are being made regularly, I hope. Amen. And as long as we're sowing towards souls, praying and believing for souls, then yes, that account is having regular deposits going into it. The offerings you've given, you'll have an opportunity to give again tonight. Those watching by satellite, you have an opportunity during the meeting. You don't have to wait till the end. But don't miss out on sowing because you're going to be adding to your account. So we'll have that opportunity. And everything you've sown in the previous meetings of this week, you've got fruit. People that get born again next week and the next place I go. And you know, when we were over in Australia and when we were in Singapore and Asia and just all over, getting fruit abounding to your account because you're part of the ministry. Your labors together when you sow into the ministry. Can I hear an amen? So I said, I want fruit to abound to your account. So yeah, it's great to look at the fruit that we get here. You know, we're blessed here, so we have our needs met. We're able to pay our bills, and he even wants your wants met, which means he wants you to buy the new car that you want, you know, the nice Ford Taurus SHO. Everybody here knows what I'm talking about. That's Pastor Ed's car, you know. I got to ride in it today, but he wouldn't let me drive it. He knew I was a lead foot, so he thought, no, I don't want Larry to get a ticket, you know. So, but he wants us to have dream houses, dream cars. In fact, if you don't believe that, just go study out the life of Abraham. Study out the life of Isaac and Jacob. Study out the life of David and Solomon, who were multi-billion, or millionaires, some of them millionaires, some of them billionaires. They had all kinds of stuff that you don't need in this life. And yet, God's the one that gave it to them. So God's not against us having things. He's against things having us. Right? Hallelujah. So again, he wants fruit to abound to our account, both here and there. And he said, you guys gave over and over and over again to my necessity. He said in the contemporary English version, I'm not trying to get something from you, but I want you to receive the blessings that come from giving. It's a good translation. Here's another translation, God's Word to the Nations Bible. It's not that I'm looking for a gift. The opposite is true. I'm looking for your resources to increase. I love that. That's God. And so then he says this in verse 18, but I have all and abound. So evidently, however, Paul's ministry is being funded, which one way we know, according to what he's saying here, is the Philippians were helping fund his ministry, right? And at the beginning, they were the only ones, but it's the indication there could be others helping him now. But now he's saying, I am full. I abound. And if you look up the Greek word, it's talking about he has too much. You and I would just say too much. Anybody here would like to have too much? Well, God wants us to have too much. You know why? Because if you have too much, then you're going to be able to bless others. If you have enough, all you have is enough for you. So God wants us to have too much. And so he said, I have all and abound. You know what I thought was interesting here? He said, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you. It's interesting. He said, you guys, I am totally full. I have more than enough for my need. Now, he's talking about his necessity. He just got done saying that, so make sure you interpret this in context. The context is my needs, my wants, my desires, every occasion, every demand placed upon me in my life and ministry, everything. I have too much. But then he doesn't tell them to stop giving. Isn't that interesting? Doesn't tell him to stop giving. Had abundance, and yet did not tell him, okay, I have all, guys, so now stop. No, because that would have contradicted what he just said in the previous verse. He just got done saying, I want your resources to increase. This is what this sowing, this seed time and harvest, back in verse 15, the giving and what? Receiving is all about. The receiving doesn't happen without the first part, the giving, the seed time, the sowing. That's why I tell you, I can take any poor person off of any major city, the street of any major city, teach them God's principles, and they could start with a penny and give their way out of poverty and end up being wealthy. Hallelujah. Because God's word is, Jesus said, thy word is truth, and truth prevails over every situation when it's believed and acted upon. Hallelujah. So he said, I have everything I need, man. I'm abounding. I'm full. I've received Epaphroditus, brought all the things from you guys. In fact, the things that you sent, look what he talks about them here in verse 18. He first of all says they're an odor of a sweet smell. I thought, isn't that interesting? They were sending money to Paul, and Paul said God took a whiff. God went, man, something smells good down there. So God actually takes notice when you and I sow into his kingdom. Now, when we're just sowing into things that have nothing to do with God, you know that you've got to watch these things because there's some commercials on TV that can pull your heartstrings and pull your money out of your wallet and out of your bank accounts. Not necessarily bad things, but they're not God things. They're not getting anybody born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, healed and delivered by the power of God. So be careful. Make sure you're funding the kingdom first before you start putting money in other areas. And this is, I've seen a lot of Christians miss it in this area, which is why they wonder why they don't get fruit. But you got to make sure you're doing like these guys. This is why they qualified, and that's why we're studying this tonight, right? Don't we all want to qualify for his abundance out of his riches and glory, right? We want him supplying all our needs, wants, and desires. All right, so he said it's a sweet smell. So money given to God from a right heart has an aroma with it. In fact, if you want to hold your place here, we'll come right back. Let me just show you something over in Acts 10. I know I could quote this story, but I want you guys to see it in Acts chapter 10 real quick. In Acts chapter 10, you remember the Italian guy, Cornelius? And remember, you know, he was of the Italian band, and he was the guy that was always praying, but guess what else he was always doing? He was always giving to the poor. The Bible calls it giving alms. That's when you're giving to the poor. And he was a devout man, according to Acts 10:2, and he feared God, and of course was always praying and giving. And then he had a vision in verse 3, and in verse 4, when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" Now look at verse 4. And the angel said, "Your prayers and your giving," that's the alms, "are come up for a memorial before God." God, wait a minute, memorial would mean God remembers. And if God's not forgetting, he forgets your sins, throws them into the depths of the sea. But things he remembers, he blesses. Amen. Things he remembers, especially in the context of what we're reading, seed time and harvest, then he's going to remember and make sure you get harvest on what you're sowing, right? But I want you to see it came up, the Bible says, as a memorial. Well, that would go along with it's a sweet smell. So evidently it comes up like an aroma to God. And God says, boy, I like that smell. Think of that. He's talking about substance that, you know, we think filthy lucre. And yet, it's actually righteous riches in the hands of a believer. Amen. It's filthy lucre in the hands of an unbeliever, an unrighteous person, but it's righteous riches in the hands of a believer. In other words, not filthy rich, it's righteously rich. Amen. So God wants us to have that. And so he says, let's go back now. I just wanted you to see that. It come up as a memorial. So when we go back, how did it come up as a memorial? It came up as an aroma to God. He said, I'm full, I'm abounding, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell. And then he makes this statement, a sacrifice. A sacrifice. Of course, you know, people have the comma. Of course, if you take out all the punctuation, we'll talk about the acceptable, well-pleasing here in just a minute, but a sacrifice. Everybody say a sacrifice. So evidently, whatever this means, the Philippians were doing, which then qualified them for the next statement, my God's going to supply all your needs, wants, desires, and riches, and everything according to his riches. So sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? You know, one thing that before I got mature in the Lord, started growing in the things of God and learning the word of God, I would hear a preacher say, give sacrificially. And I never liked that because I thought they were just trying to pull money out of my pocket. But when I started learning my pastor's heart and Brother Hagin's heart and other men of God that would say things like that, I was learning that, you know what, they're not desiring fruit to abound to their account. They're wanting fruit to abound to my account. They're trying to teach me something here. Sacrificially. A good way to say that is, don't just keep doing what you've always done. I remember my wife and I, whenever we were traveling with Brother Hagin for a number of years, and you know, we'd finally believe God to be able to, you know, we gave our first $1,000 offering. You know, we had to give it all, but we gave it. And then God's blessings were coming. And wow, man, we were paying off our house quicker and, you know, getting out of debt slowly. And just just living a little better and a little better, being able to give a little more. And I remember now we're still tithing. We're able to give a little more to our church building fund and be able to give a little more to the ministry's monthly support that we were supporting ministries. And we were up to where we were given $5 every time we went to church. Now, I'm talking about above the tithes, offerings, and partnerships. So we were already stretched, but we were given $5 every time we went to church. And we did that for a while. And, you know, that adds up. I mean, you're talking $15 a week when you go three times a week, right? So that's an extra $60 a month. That's above a lot of people's offerings, you know, anyway. But so we were doing that, and it was stretching us. But then it got to the point where it wasn't stretching us anymore, and we kept doing it. We just kept doing it. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, "You're not sacrificing anything." I said, what do you mean? He said, "When you give that five, you know you can do without that. You don't have to believe me at all. You don't need my help because you already know I can give this and I won't miss it. I can do fine without it. There's no sacrifice." Oh. So we upped it to $10 every time we went to church. We doubled up. Well, that started stretching us a little more. And then after that, we had to double up again and continue from there. So when God says a sacrifice, let's look at a good Bible example. Hold your place here, and let's go over to Luke 21. Luke chapter 21. We could look at this particular story also in Mark 12, because this is the story of the widow woman that threw in the two mites. It's in Mark 12, but it's also in Luke 21. We're going to look at Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 1, it said, "Jesus looked up and saw rich men casting their gifts into the treasury," which if you look down at verse 4, it's called the offerings of God. So we know the treasury is talking about funding the kingdom of God, funding the church, funding the tabernacle, funding, you know, God's work on the earth. So he saw rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. But he also saw, verse 2, a certain poor widow casting in their two mites. And he said, now he's talking to his disciples. You could also read this in Mark and find out he's talking to his disciples. He said to his disciples, "Of a truth I say to you, that this poor widow has cast in more than they all." And then he explains what he means, and I'm sure I can understand why he would go on explaining in the next verse what he meant by that. Because can you imagine if you were Peter or James or John or standing there, Andrew, one of them, you're standing next to Jesus and you're watching the rich men throw, let's just use this for modern analogy, throwing in $100 bills. All the rich people coming out throwing in $100 bills. And you're watching that. And then you see this poor little widow coming up and throw two pennies in. And then all of a sudden your leader said, "Hey, she threw in more than all the rest of them put together." You'd think, "Jesus, you got a fever? you need to take a nap? You're seeing things, Jesus. I think maybe you better lay down and rest, my friend." In other words, you would use natural mathematical sense here and say, no, she did not throw more in. But see, Jesus probably saw their expression, is why he went on in verse 4 to explain what he meant. So he says, "She's thrown in more than they all," meaning more than all of them put together. And then "for," the word "for" is, in other words, let me explain what I just said so you'll understand it. "For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God." What do you mean? All they have thrown in, like Larry and Liz were doing for that time, what they could do without, what they won't miss. They can put this in and still be fine. Don't have to trust God. Don't have to believe God. I'll still be fine without this. They threw in of their abundance. So they were throwing in what they knew they could live without. Okay, I still got enough for my car payment, my house payment, my food, my this. I can put this amount in. So Jesus says the woman threw in more than all of them put together. Said she, they cast in of their abundance, but she of her need. Now listen, if Jesus is paying attention to her giving And he's using it to teach the disciples he is pleased with her. And if he's pleased with her, she's exercising faith, because without faith, it is what? So we know this woman just by the mere fact that the Lord of the harvest is using her as an example of giving, then her giving has to be in faith. So when she threw in two mites, Jesus said she's thrown in more than all of them put together, which means then we would understand. So he's looking at percentages, not the actual amount, right? Because the actual amount was less, but compared to what she had and what she gave and what they had and what they gave, she gave way more than they gave. But also, she made sacrifice. Yeah, we know that, Brother Larry, she gave all. Yeah, but she could have made a big sacrifice and gave 50% of her money. Come on, that's still a lot more than the rich people were throwing in. There was no sacrifice if they weren't given 50%, because then they'd have had to believe God. She could have. Could she not have thrown in one mite? Would that have been half of her income? Or half of her money, yeah. She threw in all. Jesus said she of her need has cast in all the living that she had. Would you call that a sacrifice? Yeah. And you may have had that happen. You've heard your pastor's testimony. You heard my testimony, how God told us to give $1,000 when all we had was $1,000. Well, I can relate, because all of a sudden when you gave it, you have nothing left. You're starting at the bottom again. But it doesn't matter, because God takes note. There's an aroma that goes up, and when you do it in faith and not in fear, then guess what? Faith is what releases grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. So faith is what releases grace. You're putting your faith in his grace. You're putting your faith in his favor, his goodness. And so God's riches and glory can then take care of you, because you've made a sacrifice. That's why I challenge people. I'll challenge you tonight. I'll challenge those that are watching tonight. When you give tonight to Larry Hutton Ministries, whether you give online or you give here, do something you haven't done before. Somebody says, well, the most I've ever given is $2. Well, then double up. Give $4. Most I've ever given is 10. Give 20. Do something you haven't done before. You know what you do? You put God in a position to bring blessings to you. You never put him in a position before. Amen. Because God's the one that wrote this manual, and he said, it's not according, remember in 2 Corinthians 8, it's not according to what you don't have, it's according to what you do have. Listen, who do you think got the bigger harvest in Luke 21 here? The widow woman or the rich men casting in? If she threw in more than they all, and the Lord of the harvest is taking note, then seed time and harvest took place. I can't wait to get to heaven to meet this rich lady. You heard me right. I said, I can't wait to get to heaven to meet this rich lady right here, this lady we're talking about. But Brother Larry, she was a poor widow. That was before she sowed. And for Jesus to take note and use her as an example, can you imagine the amount of money that came back on the seed she sowed when she gave everything? I can't wait to get to heaven. I'll say, Abraham, hold on. I'll talk to you in a minute. I got to talk to this lady first. Hold on, Moses, hold on, let me talk to this. So how did God make you rich? I want to hear her story. Because I'm sure, you know, we're going to get to hear all these kind of stories for the ages and ages and ages to come. In fact, God's going to be, according to the Bible, God's going to be showing us his glory for the ages to come. We're going to just be seeing more and more and more good things and glorious things, and we'll be oohing and aahing for eternity. Wow. Hallelujah. All right, so go back to Philippians. Now you can see what a sacrifice is. So in Philippians 4:18, Paul said, I have all, I'm abounding, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, so it's an aroma in God's nostrils, a sacrifice, just do that periodically, make different sacrifices, or even do this. Liz and I started doing this. We decide, okay, here's the amount we're going to give when we go to church tonight. You know, stretch us a little bit, and then let's add a dollar or two to that. Because that's just a little bit more than we were planning. You know, just go ahead and start stretch. If it's too much to stretch yourself by 5 or 10 or 15 or 100 or 1,000, whatever, then just stretch yourself little bits at a time. And you watch things start increasing. Because you're doing it for God and you're doing it for fruit. Not the natural fruit, except for this. Yes, I want more money so I can reach more people. If that's your heart, I want more money to reach more souls, then God will make sure you have money for your cars and houses and clothes and things like that. But make sure you keep soul-minded. Amen? Keep soul-minded. And so then God says it's a sacrifice. Made the sacrifice. Then he tells us two words. He says, acceptable, well-pleasing. Acceptable, well-pleasing. Listen, what is it? I know you just said it a few minutes ago, but I'll ask you again. What is it that without it is impossible to please him? Without faith. So if this was accepted and well-pleasing, that proves to me the Philippians were giving to Paul in faith of the law of giving, and so they weren't just giving by faith. When they were giving, they were expecting a harvest by faith, and they knew when they got a harvest, they were going to be able to give more into Paul's ministry and more into the kingdom of God in other areas. But it was by faith, which tells me this. Wait a minute. If it was by faith, then that means favor flowed. That means grace flowed, which is why the Apostle Paul then would be able to say, my God's going to supply all your needs. Hold your place. Just go back a couple chapters. Go back to Philippians 1, because you're going to see why Paul was able to say this now. Okay, so they've put themselves in a position. They put themselves in a position, man. They're giving by faith. That means they're drawing on God's grace. They're exercising faith for giving and receiving. They're making continual sacrifices. They're sowing into good ground. But watch this. Paul said in Philippians 1, let's start in verse 3. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you is going to perform it till the day Jesus comes. Even as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Now watch what he says. You all. He's talking to the Philippians, the ones that we've seen came in contact with the law of giving and receiving by supporting his ministry and partnership. He said, you all started partaking of my what? Of my grace. Interesting. I mean, he could have said, you all are partakers of God's grace. But evidently, God gives different graces to different people, just like me. People have tried to do what I do. I've heard people say, man, I went on the road for 2 years, tried to live in hotels, and I just couldn't handle it. I had to quit. Well, man, I've been doing it. I started preaching in 1980, started traveling in 1982. Man, I've been traveling now for many decades, and I love hotels and restaurants still, because I have the grace to do it. So I have a grace. Some people like me, like others, are called to do TV. We're graced to do that. But there are other people, they've tried to get on TV and say, man, I just can't stand looking at that camera. I was just telling my employees just a couple days ago, we were in the studio. And, you know, we record programs to go air on the TV networks. Well, I'm looking at the camera, and I told my staff, I said, you know, when I look at the camera, I see people. I'm not seeing a camera. I'm seeing people that need truth and people that want to be loved and felt like they're needed and felt like they're important and make them feel like somebody, that somebody loves them and cares about them and that God has an answer for them to help them wherever they're at in life. That's what I see when I look at a camera, even when it's not live. Yeah, we're live tonight, but man, I can look at it again. In fact, you want to hear, can I just take a side journey for a minute? Let me tell off on how awesome, how smart God is. I was in the studio a couple years ago, and this has happened numerous times in the studio, but I'm going to tell you one, the first time it happened. I'm in the studio, and I'm preaching away, looking at the camera, right? They're recording the program, going to be aired later on. I'm preaching away, and all of a sudden, God says, there's somebody watching that has such and such symptoms on their body, and I'm going to heal them. Tell them, because I'm going to heal them. And my thought, of course, is, there's nobody watching. We're recording. But I knew the voice of God, and so I just spoke it out, just like it was live. I said, there's somebody watching right now, and you have such and such, and I mentioned what it was. I can't remember at this point, but some sickness or disease in your body. God's going to heal you right now. Weeks later, the program aired. The person was watching that had the problem, and they got healed when they were watching. Now, I thought, God, you are so smart. You know what the youth would say? They would say, God, you are totally stinking smart. Totally stinking awesome. I just can't put that word stinking with awesome, but they can. Youth can do that, you know. And but they mean right. They just mean, God, you're just like totally wow. I mean, wow, you're just too much. I mean, God knew who would be watching that program weeks later. And I could have talked myself out of it if I'd have stayed in the natural, right? But I just had to share that because I thought God is so awesome. He's so smart. He knows the future better than we know the past. Hallelujah. All right, so you're partakers of my grace. So now go back to Philippians 4:19. That's how they came in contact with the law of giving and receiving, is partaking of the grace of God. So they weren't just giving, they're receiving grace. And remember in 2 Corinthians 9:8, all grace, financial grace abounding to you so that you have all sufficiency in all things. So guess what? They were partakers of Paul's financial grace. And Paul had his own hired house toward the end of his ministry, very wealthy man. So watch this. He said, now verse 19, you're going to see something maybe you haven't seen before. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your what? Need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But my God, but my God, but my God, but my God, he did not say, but your God. Interesting. Was Paul's God and the Philippian and the Nanuetans and the Oklahoma, is our God the same God as Paul's God? Then why didn't he say, your God's going to supply all your need according to his riches and glory? Because they were partakers of his grace. They had hooked up and helped him get the word of God out. And so grace that wasn't just abounding to the account here, but grace that was bringing souls and rewards for heaven being laid up for him so that you have a lot of stuff to enjoy in your account when you get to heaven, that was being rewarded to you. So Paul said, listen, my God, I know it's the same God, but I'm telling you right now, the grace upon my life is why I'm saying this. My God's going to supply all your need, want, desires, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, because you're partaking of the same rewards, the same graces that are upon my life. And that's why I'm praising and thanking my God's going to do this for you. Wow. So now that kind of changes everything with this verse. You know, a lot of people quote, my God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory. Yeah, but do they qualify? So again, what qualifies us? Giving by faith and drawing on God's grace and exercising our faith in giving and receiving, not just giving, making continual sacrifices for the kingdom of God, sowing into good ground. And we'll close with that one. Make sure you're first putting your church first, because you know it's good ground. At least I know this church is good ground because I've been here many times and I know your founding pastors and I know your pastors now, and this is good ground. So you want to sow in good ground, and so always put your church first because that's where you're going getting fed all the time, every week, right, if you're faithful. And God even tells us in Hebrews, he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You know what he went on and said? Especially as you see the day approaching, which means the closer that Jesus' return gets to us, the more faithful we ought to be in church. It's okay, those watching by satellite, as long as you're attending a local church. Now, maybe you haven't found one yet. This is okay, but you ought to be finding one. Those of us that have a local church, we ought to be attending it when we're able to. Amen. And especially as you see the day approaching. And then first and foremost, we support our find our church. Then you find good ministries. You know, my wife happens to love Creflo Dollars Ministry. Well, I love Brother Creflo too. I get fed by him a lot as well. But my wife, she just watches him all the time. So when we're not at church, different times in the morning when she's getting ready, she'll have Creflo on, or at nighttime before we go to bed, she'll have Creflo on. So we're partners with his ministry. Why? Because it's good ground. Amen. And there are other ministries, Brother Copeland's, different ministries that we're monthly partners with. So you want to find good ministries. Our ministry is a good ministry. I've asked you to pray about becoming a partner with our ministry. Hopefully you're at least praying about it. You know, if you don't pray about it, shame on you. But at least pray, because why? Because we're family. So if I can come and give you the grace of God that's upon my life, then you should at least pray, Lord, do you want me to do anything here other than just the offerings for the services? Would you like me to help them on a monthly basis? So I would just ask you to pray about that. And those watching, if you're not partners with our ministry, if we've been a blessing to you, would you want to help us? Would you want to help this message get out to the earth, get out to the world? Well, that's what we're going to keep doing. So we'll keep doing that. And in a few minutes, they're going to give all of you guys an opportunity to give back into our ministry. So let's make sure that we all qualify for verse 19. All right? So always check your heart. Make sure, bless God, I'm gonna come in contact with this law of giving and receiving. I'm gonna draw upon, even when you give tonight into our ministry, when you give. But always when you're coming to church and giving into the church, always, Lord, I'm partaking of the grace that's upon my pastors and upon this church and the anointing, because there's a grace here from the founding pastors. It's a grace of faith in the word to put you over in life. Amen. And so we want to partake of that grace. So anytime you do, make sure you're coming in contact with all law of giving and receiving. I'm partaking of that grace. You release your faith for grace to flow. You release your faith for harvest to come, both natural and spiritual. So I'm going to receive more money so that I can even give more into the kingdom. Then make sure that very methodically and periodically on a regular basis, you increase. Even if it's just a little at a time, but go ahead and increase. Go ahead and stretch yourself. Give sacrificially like we saw tonight. Make a sacrifice. Do something you haven't done before tonight. And then as time goes on, you see yourself come up. Liz and I would see ourselves come up. And we go, man, we got to give more. We got to give more than this $5 a month. Then we got to give more than this $10 a month. We got to give more than this $20 a month. I mean, $20 every service when we go to church. Because we learned on Sunday morning, those of us were here, that God put a responsibility upon us. He gave us an opportunity to sow every time we're taught the word when we come to church. And we're going to reap from every seed we sow. Didn't we learn that? Praise God. And then I want to encourage you, don't let the devourer devour. Right? We found out, even though we're tithers and givers, that he's still going to try, the devourer's going to try and devour, because God does not rebuke the devourer in the new covenant. I know that shocked a lot of people. And if you're watching tonight and didn't hear the previous verses, you're going to think, heresy! Brother Larry saying heresy. No, you just need to go back and watch, because we show you there's no New Testament scripture where God rebukes the devourer. He's done a whole lot better for us in the new covenant than rebuke, which the word meant to chide or reprove. In other words, Satan, take your hands off. He's done better than that. He's defeated the devil for us. He's whipped him, stripped him, put him underneath our feet, loosened us from his works, given us the keys of the kingdom and authority and power over him. So now you have to do something about him. And Jesus would stand before you and say, if you don't, I can't. Amen. It's because he's made you free will beings. So make sure you're exercising your authority, your dominion. Amen. And then continue like we saw last night. Speak when lack and poverty tries to present its little ugly head through different avenues and ways in your life. Make sure you speak blessings over that, like Jesus did, we saw last night. And then you take this word that we've learned tonight and you apply this. You exercise your faith for grace so that God will supply all your needs, all your wants, all your employment, business requirements, occasions, demands that are placed upon you. And it will all be according to his bank accounts, not yours. Which there's unlimited supply in his riches and glory. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Was this all right tonight? Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's do this then. Let's go ahead and get ready to give. Online, you can give by text. I'm going to have them come up and receive this, but I'm going to go ahead and get you started. You can give online. by text or by email or wherever they'll tell you here when they come up. And then after they get done, don't go away, because after they get done, then I'm going to give away all this stuff that I brought up here. So for those of you that were faithful to come tonight, we got the hungry folk here tonight, right? So when you're writing out your checks, make sure you write them out to RLCC, not to Larry Hutt Ministries. Now, if you happen to go to Larry Hutt Ministries website and give, then of course you'll be doing Larry Hutt. But if you go to RLCC and give, then it'll go to that church. And like Pastor Ed said, they're going to write one big check. I thought, I can agree with that. Praise God. So come on up, guys, whoever's next. And remember now, challenge yourself. Do something you haven't done before. Go ahead and stretch yourself, and God will bless it.